Thank you. Be seated. The court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Texas Water Commission versus Brushy Creek Mud.
May it please the court. Ms. Susan Bird Schultz and Mr. Robert J. Aaron present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 4 minutes for rebuttal. Ms. Schultz will open for 7 minutes and she will also present the rebuttal.
May it please the court. In this administrative appeal, the court is asked to determine the scope of the Commission's Lake McGee jurisdiction under Section 12.013 of the Texas Water Code. That statute should be before you as the first page of a three-page handout, which should be blue. If you look at subsection A of Section 12.013, it gives the Commission rather broad rate-making jurisdiction over raw or treated water furnished for any purpose mentioned under Chapter 11 and 12 of the Code. This broad grant of rate-making jurisdiction fits the Commission's exercise of its jurisdiction in this case. The Commission reviews the rate of the City of Round Rock charged one of its wholesale customers, Brushy Creek Municipal Utility District, for treated water, which the district used for municipal purposes. Nevertheless, the Court of Appeals narrowly construed the Commission's rate-making authority to review Round Rock's rate.
What does the Texas Water Commission contend are the limits to its rate-making jurisdiction?
Your Honor, the Commission contends that the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction are contained within the provisions of Section 12.013. That the court should construe the Commission's jurisdiction based on the plain language of that statute.
Are there any limits?
For this case, Your Honor, the limit is that when the Commission reviews the rates of a municipality, it should only review the rates that a municipality charges on a wholesale basis, which is found in subsection D of that statute. In this case,
several of the parties have said, though, that it would be hard to imagine broader language than 12.013A. And that does seem to be right. What's left if 12.013A is all that broad?
Well, Your Honor, as we indicated, we believe that the legislature, when it enacted Section 12.013 first in 1918, meant to give the Commission an independent rate-making jurisdiction.
Why didn't it repeal all these more limited?
Because we believe, Your Honor, that the legislature never intended for the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction under this section to be conditioned by the provisions that the Court of Appeals believe that the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction is conditioned by. And that certainly when the legislature enacted amendments to Section 12.013 in 1977, the legislature made it clear that this rate-making jurisdiction extended to municipalities that sold wholesale water to other political subdivisions, just as the City of Round Rock, in this case, is selling water to the district.
This Court of Appeals believed that if 12.013 was as broad as you say, there wouldn't be any use for 11.036 and 11.041. Is that true?
No, Your Honor.
Why not?
We do not believe that those sections are rendered superfluous by our interpretation of Section 12.013. Section 11.036 talks about the rights of persons who hold in possession conserved or stored water to enter into contract. Basically, it says if you have conserved or stored water, you may enter into a contract to provide that water. And then in subsection B, it looks at, okay, if you have a contract, then the rate is going to be subject to the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction. And if a party uses the water that you have stored or conserved without a contract, then that party should also pay the rate that is set by the Commission.
But your position is the Commission could do that under 12.013 also.
Yes, Your Honor.
It doesn't have to do it under 11.036. Well, it can do all the same things.
It's consistent in the sense that 11.036 refers to the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction under 12.013 and says that if you have a contract, the rate in that contract, though, is going to be subject to the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction.
Is there one, let me come at it another way. Is there one thing that the Commission can do under 11.036 and 11.041 that it can't do under 12.013?
We believe that the Commission can compel service of water when that water is serviced by an appropriator. That would not necessarily fit under 12.013.
But with respect to setting rates, there wouldn't be anything else.
That's correct, Your Honor. Only as is limited within the sections of 12.013, which again in this case, when it concerns a municipality, would be on a wholesale basis and not for retail rates. The Court of Appeals therefore limited the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction in this case and found that the Commission lacked jurisdiction to exercise its rate-making jurisdiction. The Court of Appeals looked at indicated that Section 12.013 could only be construed in conjunction with Sections 11.036 and 11.041. Therefore, the Court of Appeals limited the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction to when two circumstances were met. First, that the water was furnished by an appropriator, which is a person who has obtained a state permit to use state water. And second, only when the Commission's jurisdiction is invoked by the customer, not by the supplier. We believe that those two conditions should not construe the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction under Section 12.013. As this Court well knows, the cardinal rule in construing a statute is to give effect to the legislature as expressed by the language of the statute. On its face, Section 12.013 gives the Commission the rate-making jurisdiction that it exercised in this case.
Other, Ms. Schultz, Section 12.013A refers to the authority of the Commission to fix reasonable rates for treated water for any purpose mentioned in Chapter 11 and Chapter 12. That's why I was never good with the tax code, because it always refers to me to something else. Is Chapter 11 is referring to the specific provisions, 11.036 and 11.041? Is that what that's referring to?
No, Your Honor. In Chapters 11 and 12, the code specifies, for example, the purposes for which state water can be utilized. And the primary purposes, and I can go back and look at the statute and get that specific provision for you on rebuttal, the purposes would be, for example, for domestic and municipal use, for irrigation, for city water works, and the such.
And within those two chapters, it talks about who can go to the Water Commission to get them to look at this.
Yes, Your Honor.
In chapter 12, is there any sort of provision that talks about who can go to the Water Commission to seek the Water Commission's involvement in this rate setting?
Well, really, the provisions as far as how you go about getting a permit from the state, for example, to supply the water, those provisions are most specifically set out in Chapter 11. Chapter 12 talks about more general provisions under which the Commission has jurisdiction to, for example, enforce the permit. So there are no other additional provisions in Chapter 12 that covers uses for the water that are not provided in Chapter 11. I believe my time is up as far as the opening argument. Have I answered your question, Your Honor?
Well, I'm still working on it. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Counsel.
May it please the Court, Bob Heron, Ron Freeman, and I represent the Highlands petitioners in this case who are customers of the district. And I found it difficult in reading these opinions to keep the parties straight, so I hope this chart and the handout copy of it may be of assistance. The water in question here comes.
Where do you fish?
We're down here. Water comes from the Brazos River Authority, which is an appropriator. It sells the water to the city of Round Rock. The contract here at issue is a contract between the city of Round Rock and the district. The Highlands petitioners are developers and customers of the district.
Can you explain why Round Rock sought to have the rate fixed by the Commission and is now on the other?
No, Your Honor, I cannot.
Okay.
Round Rock, in this case, did initiate the proceeding before the commission to review the rates set under this contract. The Highlands petitioners intervened before the commission because we are directly impacted by those rates, and we agree with the commission that it has jurisdiction over the rates between the city of Round Rock and the district. With that in mind,
I guess the city was trying to get the rates up and you were trying to get them down.
Well, that may be generally true with rates, Your Honor, a situation we've run into in other instances. The particular problem here is that the contract imposes a heavy prepayment fee upon the initial connections in the district, and that fee involves a very large sum of money. So these petitioners are directly impacted by whether that is a reasonable provision of the contract. The contract requires the fee to be paid by the people in the district. I think Ms. Schultz has dealt with 12013, which on its face says there is clearly jurisdiction.
If there isn't, can you give us some sense of the practical consequence of that reading of the statute?
I would not attempt to do so in terms of the world at large. I can in terms of my client's interest in this case.
You don't have a sense if it's common around the state?
Let me put it this way, Your Honor. I think that this statute plainly is intended to provide broad jurisdiction in this area, but it has a limitation in subsection D, which also has the effect of making it clear that jurisdiction extends to wholesale sales by cities to districts. When the limitation says that when a city is involved, that the commission's jurisdiction is limited to the wholesale sales by the city to another jurisdiction, to another political subdivision, that seems rather plainly to confer jurisdiction in this case. And in this case, we think that supports the commission's jurisdiction. Beyond that, Justice Powers and the Court of Appeals, with all respect, gave primacy to a genealogical construction of the statutes historically, and said yes, but there are some old statutes in effect and originally enacted in 1913 that would appear to limit the commission's jurisdiction to appropriators, in this case the Brazos River Authority, or number two, to complaints by customers. And this complaint was not by a customer, but by a seller. Now, we think that's wrong, that these earlier statutes, 11036 and 11041, properly construed, don't really mean that. 1136 says that contracts that it deals with, the commission has jurisdiction as to other water rates. And that, we believe, is a reference to 1141, which gave broad jurisdiction to the commission on complaint. Now, that's unlike the Public Utility Commission, where before a rate can be charged, you have to go to the commission to get approval. This is jurisdiction which exists in the event there is a complaint. Now,
Mr. Aaron, it seemed to me that what the Court of Appeals was looking at was historical issues involving water rights. What historically would be a owner of water's interest in having some state agency come in and help them renegotiate what they were willing to sell their water for? If you understand my question, it seemed to me the problem was that someone owned water and the state was trying to create a mechanism where someone who needed the water might require the sale, and so then you put this regulatory body that would make sure that the price that was charged was going to be reasonable. What other interest is there for an owner of water who can sell it or not sell as they choose, having an interest in some regulatory body down in Austin coming up and telling them how to set their rates.
Well, I think that relates also to a question Justice Peck asked earlier about the continued viability and purpose of 11036 and 1141. Those were enacted in 1913 because at the same time that a permit system was enacted, giving permit holders the opportunity, the right to go build reservoirs, dams, impound waters, and the concern that the legislature had at that time was twofold. Number one, these people might be appropriating all this state water, but just hold on to it and not let the public use it. So 1136 and 1141 gives rights to that water to people who might want to use it. It also provides that people who do use it, if they're next to a reservoir, next to a canal, and they use it, have to pay a reasonable price for it. So those statutes continue to have viability in that area. They perform that function within the limits of the statute. Of course, all that's not involved here. Under what circumstances does an appropriator, someone who has conserved and held water, have to sell it? And if someone wants to use it, under what circumstances must the seller be required to sell it to them? That's the jurisdiction of 36 and 41. Now, what we're dealing with here, 12013, came into effect 5 years later, in 1918. And that is the origin of this broad power that says the commission shall fix reasonable rates for the furnishing of water for any purpose mentioned. There's a court decision here, Knight against Oldham, that points out that this removed the ambiguity, if there was one, in the earlier statute about the complaint having to been filed by a customer. Because now that's gone. 12013 prevails. So my time has escaped.
Any other questions?
All I can say is that the genealogical approach here fails to give credit to the reenactment of the statute in 1977.
Thank you. The court is ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May I please report, Mr. Lee Gerard and Mr. Stephen L. Sheets will present argument for the respondent. Mr. Gerard will open with the first 10 minutes.
May I please the court? My name is Lee Gerard. I am the attorney representing Brushy Creek Mud in this case. As opposing counsel has pointed out to the court, the issue here is whether or not the commission has authority to fix rates for wholesale water that the contract is entered into between a city, which is a non-appropriator of state waters, and the district, which is a wholesale purchaser of non-appropriated waters. The two parties entered into an at-arm's length contract, and based on what we believe to be an appropriate and rational and concise opinion of the Court of Appeals, we believe that the Commission does not have jurisdiction to step in and affect that business contract between two entities. So we're not dealing with a protected asset such as state waters. The true parties to this case, as has been pointed out, are the city and the district. The district now finds itself in sort of an unusual position of being aligned with the city, whereas below we were opponents on this case, with the two parties now being in agreement that there is no jurisdiction for the commission, we find ourselves somewhat in a position of there being no real case in controversy from the lower court. And the reason I say that is though Mr. Heron's done an excellent job in presenting his client's case in this, we don't feel that he really has a dog in this hunt in that
He's the guy the money comes from.
He's the guy who pays simply prepayment fees. He's not, his clients are not end users of the water, and they are not paying rates per se. They are paying what he's termed a prepayment fee. And there are other chapters within the water code which relate to the payment of certain fees.
Why did the commission let him intervene if they didn't have an interest?
Well, Your Honor, the case was about the contract as a whole, and in that contract there are these prepayment fees. Our contention is we're past that point now. We're now talking specifically about rates as opposed to fees. The commission ruled that that fee was no longer to be charged and did away with that prepayment fee.
Are you saying that Round Rock's position now has left the commission of jurisdiction?
They are in agreement with the Court of Appeals that there was no jurisdiction, and they were the bringer of that action.
Does that divest the commission of jurisdiction?
If they took the next step and actually, I'm not saying there is no controversy totally, I'm saying if they took that next step and would have dismissed their case, but as to the rate issue and not the fee issue, then there would be nothing left in the commission. They were the ones who brought the suit. The interveners wouldn't have any standing because they're not affected by the rate. They're just affected by this prepayment fee, and they're not the end users of the water.
Is the rate affected by the prepayment fee? In other words, is that considered when the rate is set?
Our contention, Your Honor, is that there's a, and I apologize, I don't have the chapter and section, but there's a section within the Water Code that says you can't charge any fee unless you're authorized by the statute. So we contend that that fee is over and above something that's based on the actual rate charge for delivery of water, if I've answered your question.
If 11.036 applies, then the commission could review the rates in this contract. Is that true?
No, Your Honor. We're saying
even
that
if it applied?
We were saying no, because the city is not an appropriator of state waters. They receive waters from the Brazos River Authority. They also have their own wells and water that's not even subject. So 11.036 would not apply.
But if it did?
If it did, then it would have jurisdiction.
Right. Now, put a very fine point on it. Why isn't Round Rock a person having in possession stormwater, floodwater, or rainwater that is conserved or stored, parenthesis, by the Brazos River Authority, as authorized by this check?
If we are assuming that this applies, then they do fall within that category. But again, it gets back to whether they are appropriators, and we would agree with the contention of the Court of Appeal. And in reviewing, you know, this case really boils down to the court's interpretation of the broad language and where it fits historically, and whether you agree with the Court of Appeals or whether you agree with the counsel for the commission and the petitioners in this case, that the Court of Appeals historically took it out of context. We feel that in interpreting broad language of statute, you have to do two things. One, you have to look at the evil that was thought to be protected by the legislation, and two, you have to place the particular statute within context. You can't analyze the language of the statute in a vacuum and see where it falls in relation. Historically, as pointed out in the Kohler case versus United Irrigation Company, the purpose for enacting 12.03, the precursor to 12.03, was simply stated, there is no law authorizing the fixing of rates for furnishing water and permitting furnishers of water to apply for a review and revision to orders, rates, and decrees. That's a direct quotation of the emergency clause that was used at the time that precursor to 12.013 was enacted. So, getting back to what Mr. Heron had said, this was simply enacted to clarify whatever problems there may have been with the original statute of not granting jurisdiction far enough to actually set rates. It simply gave the commission under the old law to write an opinion. It didn't say what it could include in that opinion and fix the rates. If you track the history of this statute, during the past, next 70 years to its current form or the form of 1977. There is no significant change in the language of the statute. There's no material change to any jurisdiction that's granted in that statute. It is true that in 1977 there were some additional qualifications given, but we don't feel that those qualifications contradict the original intent of the statute, which was to protect against appropriators basically gouging their clients or their customers when they had an asset at stake. The statutes were there to protect the citizens of the state to have access to reasonable rates for water that belong to the state.
Why wouldn't the same rationale apply when you've got another downstream wholesale sale? You've still got state water, it's just going through another wholesale sale. Why wouldn't the same rationale apply?
Because at that point, for example, the district has the right to go to anybody else and get water. The water that the city of Round Rock has is no longer unique. There are other appropriators out there. The district could have gone directly to the Brazos River Authority, for example, and contracted to have water. So basically, if you grant this broad general jurisdiction to the commission, you're basically making all contracts, such as the contract involved here, null and void. There's no incentive to enter into a contract between entities like the city and the district when, you know, at any time either party can run to the commission and have that declared null and void and basically restart the whole process.
But you can do that under 11036.
Again, assuming you're an appropriator
right.
of water.
Why is it any worse policy to be able to do it under 12013 than it would be under 11036?
Again, getting back to the original evil that was the statute was set up for, the purpose of the statute was to ensure that people who were given permits to use state water for their own benefit are not gouging their customers. So the source of water is the source of water from the state, so there's only certain people you can get that water from.
It seems to me your argument, though, then, is there ought not to be an incentive to contract in that circumstance, but there ought to be an incentive to contract in this circumstance.
Well, you, again, you have to get to a source of state water ultimately, so there has to be some protections for that first step, and so that would be the incentive.
Are you saying that market forces would keep Brushy Creek? That could go directly to Brazos River Authority if the city of Round Rock was charging out of line. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, yes. If they couldn't come to a reasonable conclusion as to what the contract amount should be, then there are other people out there with water that the district could go to. There's no requirement that they get their water from the city of Round Rock. That's my time. I have passed on to Mr. Sheets from the city of Round Rock.
Any further questions? Thank you, sir.
May it please the court. My name is Steve Sheets. I am the city attorney for the city of Round Rock. Now, I realize that there are some questions about the city's position in this case, and I'd be happy to explain that. The city, to begin with, is very hesitant to assert jurisdiction under this particular statute, but was relied upon the commission staff as well, and I sought advice and counsel from other attorneys who gave their opinion about this case, and it seems that there are differences of opinion about the jurisdiction of the case. Be that as it may, the city of Round Rock brought this case to relieve itself of what it thought at that point was some burdensome provisions in a contract that it had with the Brushy Creek Municipal Utility District.
Weren't they not bargained for at arm's length?
Pardon me?
Were those provisions bargained for, the rates bargained for at arm's length?
Yes, they were. The problem was that the Brushy Creek, if I may, this chart is not quite complete. And then, for one thing, there should be the state of Texas at the very top, and then a permit to appropriate water to the Brazos River. But more importantly, there are wells that the city of Round Rock has, and there's not state water. And the crux of this case, the reason it was brought to begin with, is Brushy Creek had its own well that it was using in addition to the water from the city of Round Rock. Now, what caused the case in the first place was that Brushy Creek developed wells after they signed the contract with the City of Round Rock and started using their own wells after the City of Round Rock had spent a lot of money getting capacity to supply the water, and then Brushy Creek didn't buy the water. And so that was the problem with the contract. That's the reason the case was brought in the first place, was because Brushy Creek wasn't buying any water. The core issue in this particular case, though, is whether the Texas Water Commission has jurisdiction under Section 12.013, whether that jurisdiction is limited to state water, in other words, water that is appropriated, or if it's virtually unlimited. If you read the statute in conjunction with Chapters 11 and 12, as the Court of Appeals did below, it is clear that this jurisdiction asserted in Section 12.013 is limited to those entities that appropriate water. In this case, the Brazos River Authority. The City of Round Rock does not appropriate
Could
water.
You define appropriator would, in some instances, City of Round Rock also be an appropriator?
No, ma'am. No, no, Your Honor. The City of Round Rock is not an appropriator.
In any?
No. The only way that you can be an appropriator is if you have a permit from the state of Texas to appropriate state water. The City of Round Rock does not possess such a permit. Now, we believe that the original purpose behind Section 12.0, basically appropriators have a monopoly of state water. Brazos River Authority, the Lower Colorado River Authority, those appropriators have a monopoly of what we call state water, which is surface water. And so there is
appropriators don't drill well.
Yes, that's correct. It's surface water. It's state water.
So a well is never considered appropriated water?
That's correct. It's only surface water. So the state has a natural, because of this virtual monopoly of the water, I think the state has a legitimate purpose to make sure that the Brazos River Authority doesn't just hoard the water and doesn't just gouge people for price rates for the water, that the Water Commission looks over the Brazos River Authority and makes sure that the rates are just, reasonable, and fair.
And to be clear, though, you don't think the Commission has jurisdiction over the state water that the city has?
Not under Section 12.013, no, because I believe that section is limited to appropriators of water. Now,
does it have it under any section? You limited your answer. You said not under Section 12.
Well, under Chapter 13, there are other rate fixing jurisdictions under Chapter 13 of the Water Code. But that is not at issue in this particular case. When you look at the chapter or Section 12.013, it talks about that the jurisdiction is limited to the purposes. Let me just paragraph A: the Commission shall fix reasonable rates for furnishing raw or treated water for any purpose mentioned in Chapter 11 or 12. Now, if you read Chapters 11 and 12 in their entirety, it's clear that what they're talking about is state-appropriated waters. They're not talking about well water. Are non-appropriated waters, that the purposes mentioned in Chapter 11 and 12 are waters appropriated from the state of Texas. So we believe even though we brought the case in the first place, we believe that the jurisdiction under Section 12.013 was limited to those entities that are limited to circumstances where we're talking about appropriated water.
There's an argument made that the Brazos River Authority could form the Brazos River Wholesale Sale Authority, a wholly owned subsidiary, and then sell the water that it appropriated to its subsidiary and then gouge the price to people downstream, so to speak. What's the answer to that?
Well, I don't think that, first off, I think that the court could look through that and see that is just a sham setup, if you will, and that there is no arm's length between the Brazos River Authority and the Brazos Wholesale Water Supply Corporation, or whatever name that you gave it, and say that we're still talking about an appropriator and that there is no arm's length transaction.
could the Water Commission, assuming that that was set up, Brazos River Wholesaler was set up, and all the water from Brazos River Authority was sold to the wholesaler, could the city of Round Rock complain to the Water Commission and seek entitlement to some portion of the water that the Brazos River Authority was attempting to sell to their wholesaler?
Well, I believe that we could make such a petition to the Water Commission and say that, looky here, you've got an appropriator of state water that is using a sham to try to sell the water to a...
No, forgetting about the sham, could the city of Round Rock say that Brazos River Authority is appropriator of water and under rules 11.036, we have a right to some of that water and now force them to sell it to us at a reasonable fee?
If it was available, yes. In other words, if there is water that is available, if it's not otherwise contracted out, I think that the city of Round Rock could go to the Water Commission and say, we have as much right to that water as any other user, and they refuse to.
So it's your, I was assuming that they had contracted all of their, so it's your view that unless they can demonstrate that the wholesaler is a sham, there
right.
would not be.
Right.
City of Round Rock could not get any money.
Yes, if they have
any water.
Yes, if an appropriator has legitimate contracts with other municipalities or other users that they effectively exhaust the supply of that appropriated water, then at that point, I think the city of Round Rock would be out of luck. But as long as the water is available and it's not otherwise contracted by some other user, then I would, and if the water, Brazos River Authority either refused or wanted to charge the city of Round Rock an unreasonable rate, I believe that the city of Round Rock could go to the Water Commission to redress that. The city of Round Rock believes that the legislative history that was cited by the interveners in the case does not support their argument that there is a legislative intent that would give jurisdiction to the Water Commission in this case. The language that was not that was supposedly left out of the statute was that it would limit it to municipalities that hold a permit, and we believe that you can read this language that was left out, that the Senate could have said, the intent could have been that the statute was clear on its face that it was not limited to municipality, that it was mainly limited, only limited to appropriate.
Any other questions? Thank you. You may proceed.
If the court in construing a statute is to look at the intent of the legislature and to remedy the evil, the legislature did that in 1977. When the legislature first looked at the original bill introduced in 1977, the bill limited the commission's rate-making jurisdiction to municipalities who were appropriators. On the House floor, the legislature deleted that limitation, and therefore, Section 12.013 now indicates that municipalities who are non-appropriators also come within the Commission's rate-making jurisdiction.
Do you claim jurisdiction over the well water of the City of Round Rock?
No, Your Honor. The Court of Appeals and respondents in this case would like to reintroduce the word appropriator into Section 12.013. It is a well-known rule that words that the legislature has omitted should not be reintroduced by the court.
If the Water Commission has jurisdiction to set the rate, how does the prepayment fee come into it? Would they also have the authority to change the prepayment fee?
Your Honor, what the Commission did below in its final order is basically set the new and just a reasonable rate that the City of Round Rock can charge the Municipal Utility District. The Commission does not interpret contracts. What that does to the rest of the terms and conditions of the contract is up to the parties of that contract to determine. And as far as what the consequence would be if the Commission did not have rate-making jurisdiction in this case, I believe Your Honors have pointed out that appropriators could therefore sell all their water to another entity, and that entity therefore would not come under the commission's jurisdiction and could resell the water, even though it was still state water, to entities, and it would be protected from coming under the commission's jurisdiction. We do not believe that that was the legislature's intent when it enacted 12.013. Again, according to the amendment in 1977, we had a case of the Texas Water Rights Commission versus City of Dallas, where the City of Dallas was saying that the commission's rate-making jurisdiction should be limited to basically irrigation laws and to raw water. In that case, though, the court recognized that the commission had been given rate-making authority over treated water and included municipalities as entities that came under the commission's rate-making jurisdiction. The legislature also made it clear that municipalities were not limited to just appropriators, but were also, the commission's rate-making jurisdiction was also to apply to non-appropriators. As Mr. Heron indicated, the Court of Appeals' second condition that must be met, that only customers can bring appeals before the commission, was overruled back in 1919 by the court in Knight versus Oldham, which recognized that there needs to be a mutuality of remedies, whereby if the water customers can bring and seek relief before the commission, then so can water suppliers. And the commission has a rule in place that allows both water customers and water suppliers to seek relief before the commission.
Any other questions? Thank you, Chairman. That concludes the argument and the final clause. All of these arguments are submitted on, all of these clauses are submitted on brief and oral arguments, and the marshal will adjourn the court.
Yeah, I answer.